Today we're talking with Patrick McGrath, who is a psychologist at Alexian Brothers Behavioral Health Hospital in Hoffman State Estates, Illinois, and he's a member of the ADAA Public Education Committee. The topic is innovative technology, telehealth, tablets, and other technologies. Hi, Patrick. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
Let's talk a little bit about technologies and patients with anxiety and depressive disorders. So expanding technologies allows patients access to treatment that they might not otherwise have. Is this what you mean by telehealth?
Yes. Well, one thing for telehealth would be, too, for people who live in communities where maybe there's not a provider available to them, but they would be able to either be on a telephone or through a video link, sometimes at community hospitals or rural hospitals, hooking up with people in usually larger cities who are more specialized in certain areas and being able to provide services to people through a provider down there who might not be as specialized and allow them to get the information that they need about their specific diagnosis.
Okay, so which technologies have you found to be the most effective, and what does the literature tell you about effectiveness so far?
Well, so far, in terms of the rural aspect of working with people in rural communities, there's been very good results because it does, again, give people that specialty that they wouldn't normally have. Other technologies like virtual reality for post-traumatic stress disorder have huge amounts of research showing the effectiveness of this as the next wave of exposure therapy, of really getting people to learn that they can handle the things that are in their memory. We're even now seeing new technology being used for other areas we haven't used it before, even outside of anxiety, chemical dependency areas too, where you can do virtual reality treatment for that as well. And we're starting some research at Alexian Brothers on that right now. So the next wave is going to be computer-delivered CBT or tablet-delivered CBT, cell phone technologies. And I was just at a talk about somebody who makes almost films of patients so that they could watch their exposures again after the treatment is done.
So if you have an internet connection, you can get therapy?
Yes, you can.
Okay, mm-hmm. And the right technology. So you've talked a little bit about substance abuse and PTSD. Any other kinds of therapies and treatments that work particularly well with these kinds of technologies?
Well, the CBT-delivered computer types of treatments are going to be really good, I think, also for people with depression, especially as we try to get some behavioral activation. For somebody to be able to take something home with them, play it every day as a reminder to them of what they worked on in their treatment, instead of the typical, here's your 1 hour of therapy and then try it for the rest of the week, you can almost do therapy every day now with and have some recordings and reminders of what to be working on.
Are there any kinds of disorders that you found respond particularly well in terms of anxiety disorders, aside from, you've mentioned substance abuse, but any other illnesses that are well suited to this?
Sure. Our fear of flying simulator has been very good in the virtual reality of helping people to actually get on flights and planes, and so that's been really interesting to get people into that. It really evokes a lot of sensations in them, and they really feel as if they're on the plane while they're in the simulator, and they've been actually able to fly, so it's been wonderful.
And can you talk a little bit about maybe the time frame of how long it might take somebody?
Sure. The sessions for the virtual reality, say for the fear of flying or a fear of heights, are very quick. We can have people in the simulator for about 45 minutes at a time, and usually within 5 sessions, they're ready to go and actually go face that fear and deal with it.
I hate to ask, but are there relapses? And if so, what does that involve?
Well, there can be relapses. So far, we haven't seen any yet of the people who have done it, although we have a very small sample size at this point in time. But what can be done about it is really going then beyond the virtual reality and then going with the patient to actually do the experience as well. So the fear of heights simulator and then the fear of heights actually going to, say, a parking garage, which is always what we use for fear of heights because you can kind of lean over the side. They're never full walls. And just gradually using it as a stepwise process.
Okay. So a telehealth patient has to feel comfortable with the technology. Have you found that particular populations derive greater benefits than others? We think of younger people having greater comfort and ability with technology, but I would hate to think that that would limit it to just mm-hmm. those people.
Well, in terms of the telehealth piece of it, the technology isn't too imposing because basically it's sitting in front of a camera and a television monitor, and you're just having a conversation. You just happen to be having that conversation maybe 500 miles away. So there's not too much intimidation there. when we've done the virtual reality, sometimes older people think it's just going to be a computer game and they don't think they're going to get much out of it. But it's been amazing when we've taken the older patients and put them in it, how evoking the sensations are. So they're usually won over within one session.
Good. Mm-hmm. Can you describe, I realize there's a great variety, but a typical telehealth treatment or just some, give patients an idea of what they might expect other than what you've already described?
I think what you can expect from a telehealth treatment is not only for you to be able to talk to a specialist, but the person who you've been seeing, who may not be a specialist, more of a generalist type of therapist, will also be getting some supervision in that situation as well, too. There can also be help from a medication standpoint. Sometimes general practitioners aren't as likely to prescribe the levels of medication that may be required, say, for obsessive compulsive disorder. Most psychiatrists will go up to 80, say, on certain medications, 80 milligrams, when that's the low dose for OCD. So in order to have a psychiatrist be able to be there on telehealth with that physician and give them that recommendation is just so, so helpful for them because they may not have normally wanted to do something like that.
Okay, so it really broadens the treatment expectations and experience in a lot of ways.
Absolutely. There's a lot of broadening of that really occurs and goes on.
Mm-hmm. So what about privacy and security concerns for both the treatment provider and the patient?
When there's any technology involved, there's always the potential for some types of security breaches, though the secure lines that can be created and secure data connections and the encryptions that are involved are actually very good. I've heard some people say that you're more likely to have your cell phone people overhear a conversation at a restaurant than you are to have people talking over the computer. Even Skype is another way to do some of this, and as of yet, we don't know of any breaches in Skype, but there's always the concern, what if? So we can always ask that question, but the encryption appears to be pretty good so far.
Okay, so far so good. So what's new in the application of telehealth to treating anxiety and depression, other than telehealth is new, and what would you like to see in the future?
I think that what would be interesting to see is to bring this to other countries as well, too. How can we supervise people across an ocean or something like that? So we've been very good at looking at the rural U.S., but I think we need to now look outside of just our country and to think, how can we bring good evidence-based treatments to other people across the world so that people who are suffering can really get what they need.
What can you tell people who might want to start doing something today? What can they expect in terms of receiving the treatment? Where can they actually take the first step?
Well, the beauty of the internet in some ways is that you're able to look up and see who specialists are, and then if you are in a place that doesn't have a specialist, go to your provider and say, these are specialists. Can you contact them, find out what we need to be doing? Or, you know, it also allows you to research if there's residential options or things available. Where we're at Alexian, people come from all over the country. We've got hotels available. They can set all that up online with us, and we can help people really take care of some of those things.
Good. Thank you very much. We've been talking with Dr. Patrick McGrath, and this is Jean Kaplan-Tycrow for ADAA.